Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WFAN's Baseball Insiders Yankees podcast for Friday, April 23rd. I'm Sweeney Murdy. The Yankees started off their eight-game road trip in Cleveland Thursday night with a victory, 6-3. Yeah, a lot better result than they had on that homestand when you consider the Rays series and the Braves and the awful road trip before that. The Yankees really hitting the skids, starting off 6-11. Well, now they're only 7-11, so it's not a whole lot better. It's going to take a while when you dig yourself a big hole like that to make yourself feel better about how you're playing and where your record is, but the Yankees are at least getting started on the right foot with a win that, you know, showed a lot of really good things. Domingo Germán overcame a tough first inning with, guess what, some bad defense. That's happened a lot. Ended up giving up the three runs there and then nothing else. And while the Yankees didn't hit, you know, four or five home runs, this is kind of a victory for the people who want them to see the Yankees score in more varied fashions. But the bottom line was kind of familiar because what they did was put a lot of men on base. They had 11 base hits and 9 walks. 9 walks! That's a little extreme. It doesn't usually go that high, but you had 20 base runners. 6 runs scored. Sure, you left a lot of guys on base. A bases loaded situation again that didn't come through. And, you know, DJ LeMay, who's still kind of scuffling, although he did drive in a run with a hit, hit another ball really hard that turned into a line double play. But you got a big hit from Gleyber Torres, another one from Rougned Odor. Kyle Higashioka got some big hits from the bottom of the order. You're going to take them any way you can get them. You take the wins any way you can get them right now. But that common theme that really leads to the Yankees breaking out offensively is putting guys on base. And lots of them. Remember, the Yankees haven't been getting a lot of base hits. They haven't been drawing a lot of walks. They really haven't done what really lends them to scoring a lot of runs and eventually leads to the power. It's not like you have, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 solo home runs scattered throughout a game to score runs. Most of the times, the runs come in bunches, and the home runs drive in, you know, more than one run at a time. And sure, the Yankees got helped out by some bad Cleveland defense too, returning the favor. But again, you'll take them any way you can get them at this point. And the Yankees needed that win in Cleveland. I've said it before. The glaring thing about the Yankees and why it's so troubling is that the offense was supposed to carry the team through the early part of the season to kind of cover their deficiencies and buy them time in order to fix them. I think, you know, if you even go back, almost every year the Yankees know they need pitching. And it's something that is evident maybe throughout the winter and the spring. And the Yankees are in first place in June and you're still talking about pitching. Well, it's but just simply about buying you time until it becomes available to you. And that's usually, you know, in July as you get closer to the trade deadline than at the trade deadline in July when action is spurred. It's not, you know, it can't be one-sided. You know, the other teams have to be willing to part with their players too. And you're trying to find the common ground, not overpay, things like that. And the other team is trying to make their best deal. But what the Yankees offense has tended to do is it hides the other problems. It hides the fact that you need a pitcher because, okay, maybe in April and May you're winning games with 8 or 9 runs. You know you need better pitching to get to October, and you're just waiting to find some time to go shop for it. Defensively, it's the same thing. And listen, and very fair within your rights to say these are problems that should have been addressed in the offseason, not now. But the way the market shapes up, the Yankees make certain choices and you end up saying, okay, going to have to figure this out later because it's not working now. Is that a strike against Brian Cashman and his front office? Yeah, you could say that because it's a common theme. It happens a lot where they're not able to procure all the pieces they need and they go into a season kind of still looking for them. And I guess you could say that's true of a lot of teams. Nobody goes in with a perfect roster. But that one theme is true for the Yankees. And in the last few years, it's pretty evident that they have relied on their offense to out-hit their pitching mistakes and buy them time to acquire a better roster. Well, when you start out losing the way you did, when the Yankees lose six of their first 17 games and lose them in a fashion in which it's almost all offensively driven, well, it's going to shine a little bit more of a spotlight on it. And I know some of the starting pitchers have been bad, and they haven't given length, but a lot of that is covered up if, you know, the Yankees are scoring more runs. You know, you're probably going to have a theme of an overworked bullpen because of how often you go to the relievers, and the starters are only going 4 to 5 innings a lot of times. That's something that's been kind of normal the last few years, especially early in the season. And again, it's the offense that covers that up. And when you've got 5, 6, 7, 8 guys that just aren't doing anything on a given night, it makes it hard to do that. That's kind of the design to get you through the first half of a season and fix your roster as you go. And the early part of the season hasn't provided that. I think you hear the refrain, the Yankees believe they have a lot of guys who are very capable hitters, and this will turn around. And they say that because they're healthy. You know, a lot of the issues before, you know, Stanton getting hurt, Judge getting hurt, well, both those guys are healthy and haven't taken off. Judge in spurts, but not really. Stanton, not at all. DJ LeMahieu, well, he's been almost the MVP for a couple of years, right? So one of the best players in the league really has a hard time getting going. You got to believe he's going to get going at some point. Although he's hitting a lot more ground balls and pop-ups than he ever did. He's seeing fewer fastballs, a lot more off-speed pitches, and timing all that up and getting back to being the line drive hitter that he is, that's taken a little bit longer than the first couple of weeks of the season. You've heard Aaron Boone say, I believe in these guys. Well, you know, he believes in the track record, the back of the baseball card, those guys I mentioned, Gleyber Torres, people like that as well. So that's not new. You know, if you recall, Joe Girardi used to say that a lot too. And he had rosters that had a lot less ability in certain years than this one does. And he would constantly have faith in his guys to pull him out of it. And sometimes it didn't work, but you weren't going to hear him deviate from that message. And Aaron Boone's not deviating that from that now. And Joe Torre used to rely on that too. You know, if you go back to certain years, there were a couple of years, 2005 and 2007 in particular, when his team was struggling to stay over the 500 mark deep into the season, you know, June and July, and his team was really not firing yet. He talked a lot about track record and trying to move forward, and they made some moves along the way. And in some of those years, they managed to, well, in all those years, really, with Torre, they managed to get themselves back over the hump and get to the playoffs. So hearing that refrain from the manager is very frustrating when you see a team lose, but it's not new around here. It's been a long time since you see, you know, managers and coaches in any sport really throw guys under the bus like that, especially baseball managers. And the guys in New York have not done it for a very long time. The one thing that is troubling here, when you hear people talk about the idea that, you know, it's early in the season, and if this happened in June or July, it wouldn't be quite the same as the same attention to it. And that's absolutely true. But there's a difference between struggling for 5 or 10 games at the start of a season, when you know how short a sample that is, versus, you know, 15 to 20. And it adds a little more bite to it when you get into, you know, 3 weeks into the season, which where we are now, and you're still seeing a lot of guys scuffling and struggling to put it together. A week into the season, 10 days into the season, all the start and stops after opening day and then a day off and then some rainouts, things like that. You know, that's usually a hard way to measure a team coming back from Florida, getting going early part of the season. A 5 or 10 game stretch doesn't really say a whole lot. But when you're, you know, close to the 20 game mark and you're still finding some of these issues and the guys haven't been out of it, then, you know, then it draws a little bit more attention to it, because a 20 game stretch in June is very troublesome. But the bigger part of that is when you struggle in June, it's because, you know, you've had some success in April and May, and you've played well for an extended period of time, and you can say, okay, listen, we played well for, you know, for a while, and now we're scuffling a little bit. When you struggle 15 games, 20 games into the season at the beginning of the year, The question you have to answer is, when was the last time you did play well for an extended period of time? And that was a long time ago, because now you're going back to last season. If you're the Yankees, last season was weird. Everybody's season was weird in 2020. So think about going back even further into 2019. Now it's been a really long time since you played consistently well. Consistently well. So that's why this early season slump, although manageable and, yes, able to climb out of, when it extends as long as it has, that's why it becomes troublesome, because you are very far removed from the last time you played consistently good baseball. And it's not just the, even though this is still a very small sample in, you know, regards to the 162 game season, it's a lot different than, you know, being 6 or 8 games into the season and saying that you're scuffling. You heard Aaron Judge maybe the other night, after that loss to the Braves, he said, "We don't need to make drastic adjustments. Just keep fighting." That, you know, that's hard for fans to hear too, I know, because you want people, I think all of us in our daily lives are inclined to try to figure out how to change things when something's not working. You know, when we have something that's bothering us, you don't want to just keep doing the same thing over and over again, right? Definition of insanity, right? Well, baseball players are not really trained that way. They're trained over the course of a long period of time, over the course of a long season, to stick to their routines and trust that their processes are working, and that if they put in the good work and put in the good routine, that eventually things will turn for them, because it has in the past. But again, as I just said, sometimes now you look back and that good work that you did is really a long time ago in the mirror, and you have to think about, you know, how long it's been since you felt this good. So that's a hard thing, I think, to wrap your mind around sometimes when you think about what the players go through. But, you know, I have a friend who's a football coach who said, you know, and he's a big Yankees fan. So he talks to me during the course of the season and course of games. And as much as he loves baseball and knows the game, you know, there's a part of him that doesn't understand the coachability factor in these players, because in football, you bench a guy, you take him out, and you make him earn back his playing time. Well, you have a week in between games to make those kinds of assessments and adjustments. You don't have that kind of time in baseball. And your star players, you can't afford to be just taking them out of the lineup for extended periods of time. You've got to, you know, pump them up mentally, put the work in, and then go right to it and trust that their ability comes out eventually. So that's kind of what happens when you're seeing guys struggle consistently in the lineup. And, you know, frankly, there aren't a lot of options when you're only carrying a few extra players on the bench these days and carrying 13 pitchers. It doesn't lead you to a lot of options. You know, the biggest thing for the Yankees is their main guys have to hit. You know, you can talk about trying to do different things, but if DJ LeMahieu and Aaron Judge, especially, if those guys don't hit consistently, well, you know, where are the Yankees going exactly? Gleyber Torres is one of their brightest stars and one of their best offensive performers, especially when you put him in the, you know, the bottom, in the middle or the bottom half of the order for that kind of production. You know, that's invaluable to any team when you get that at that part of the batting order, especially. These are star players. You know, you don't have better players than this. You can't just replace these guys. These are the guys who have to be in the lineup and perform. And I've repeated this quote constantly since I first heard it about, let's see, this would have been about maybe 8 years ago now. John Daniels, the general manager of the Texas Rangers, was asked about losing Nelson Cruz because of the Biogenesis scandal and the suspension that cost him the second half of that season. And John Daniels said, "There is no contingency plan for your best players." And I was floored when I heard that, and I vowed to remember it, and I have. 8 years later, I repeat it quite often. You do not have contingency plans if your best players are not going to perform. Whether that means that they're out for injury or just not playing, you don't have people equal to their ability to stick in the lineup and perform to the same capabilities. That's just not how, you know, teams are built or designed. Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes a Miguel Andujar gets hurt and a Gio Urshela pops in. That's not always the case. It's not expected. That's really luck more than anything else. But your main guys have to perform. And if they don't, you really can't use other solutions. And other solutions are only masking agents. You're talking about trying to win with your A-list players. That's what every team tries to do. And if you're not able to do that, it's really an uphill battle. And that's what the Yankees are fighting right now, is trying to keep their A players mentally straight so they can go out there and not too beaten down and figure out how to turn things around. Maybe some of that started Thursday night in Cleveland. We'll see. It's not a straight line. That's the one thing you know. Nothing in this sport is a straight line. It doesn't just keep going up, 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 and up. It doesn't keep going down, down, down. There's a lot of ups and downs during the season. We'll see where the Yankees are. Reassess here in a couple of days, and they'll go to Baltimore in a few days. Maybe that'll get them healthy. It probably won't settle anything for fans who've watched this team struggle, and seeing them beat Baltimore next week, if that's what happens, won't really answer any questions. But getting some wins, getting some hits, some home runs, and getting the record back into something respectable, that's going to help the team mentally. And we'll see if they're able to do that over the course of these next several days. A good start to the road trip with a 6-3 win over the Indians Thursday night in Cleveland. If you're new here, make sure to subscribe to WFAN's Baseball Insiders. Twice a week, you'll get Ed Coleman's Mets reports and my Yankees reports. Of course, you can listen to us on WFAN. Follow along on WFAN.com, the Odyssey app, and you can follow me on Twitter at YankeesWFAN. I'm Sweeney Murdy. Thanks for listening.